with us about children, and I wanted to say personally that we have, our family has been very blessed to have William and Levi as a part of our family. So thank you again for being here. If you're visiting, I'm going to switch gears because if I go with the lesson I had, then we're going to be here for dinner instead of lunch. So I'm going to shorten it up just a little bit. I'm going to go back to the old way. No PowerPoint this morning. So I don't know if you guys can just have the video ready at the end. We will show it. Do I need to advance that, or can you guys do that? Y'all got it. Okay. So we're going to do it the old way. You just grab a Bible, or if you got your phone or your tablet, you want to follow along with Scripture, we can do that. I did want to mention two things real quick. I don't know if you guys read the Pine Log, but there are two articles of some members of our church. It has something to do with our lesson this morning. The first one is Dr. Robert Lehman and his wife, Kathy Lehman. The SFA Chemistry Building is being named in honor of the Lehmans. And also, I don't know, are the Lehmans here this morning? Yeah, so we're excited about that. That's awesome news. And also, Kaylee Carson. Is Kaylee here? Kaylee's not here this morning. Well, there's a great article in here about Kaylee's cookie business. And anyway, if you get a chance to read about our people, please do that. Do so, because we are filled with a room of unique, wonderful people. So this morning, I'd just like to share a few things with you. I hope the message will be something that will be helpful to you. I want you to know that God loves you. He cares about your life. If you're here this morning and you've been studying God's Word, you want to give your life to Christ, be buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk a new life, we can baptize you into Christ this morning. If you have prayer needs, we will have elders and their wives in the back. If you go out the back door to the left, there's a conference room there. If you need prayers or have questions, any concerns, any needs, we would they will be there to pray with you. So those, how about those young ladies who said our scripture reading? Let's give them a hand. That was wonderful. And also, just as a reminder, if you're here, don't forget it is the fifth Sunday, so please stay and enjoy a meal with us. We'd love to spend some time with you and get to know you better and fellowship with you. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here to worship you, Father. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for each person in this room. I pray, Father, as we open up your word, pray that we would pull from it the things we need this week to make us more like your son, Jesus. Thank you for all that you bless us with. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. The Word of God is powerful. It's changed lives for thousands of years, so I'm excited. We talked about, we get to come here and worship. I'm excited that we get to open up God's Word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, God's Word is alive and working. So we're here today, and we can be transformed, to be in the presence of God, to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that you are needed, and you are special. If you saw the bulletin, you are special, specially made by God. And you are needed in the body of believers. I jotted these down. These are just some emotions, I think, that we come into this room with. I wrote, and these aren't exclusive, I'm sure, but happy, worried, sad, scared, sinful, broken down, thankful, overwhelmed, frustrated, doubtful, expecting, tired, confused, joyful, ashamed, angry, skeptical, and exhausted. And probably a lot of us come into that last one where we're just exhausted and you're tired. But, what I'm thankful for is that we are here, because Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says that we are here to spur one another on towards good deeds. And he says, not giving up the meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. So we're here this morning to spur one another on, to encourage one another. And this is a place, sometimes if I'm honest, I'm just a mess. I don't know if you're ever that way, but this is a place that you can come in and you can be a mess and it's okay. Now, I want us to practice this, okay? So I want you to look at your neighbor and just say, I'm a mess. Can you do that? All right. Hey, you guys did really good with that. Y'all follow instructions very good. You don't have to go into detail. That's good enough. So they don't know that much about you. But now, don't you should feel better about yourself already, because just think about it, the people beside you, they're a mess. So there you go, you should feel better. I don't know if you've ever taken a vacation. Hopefully you have. But I got thinking about vacations, and you know, we take vacations with people we love. You know, I take vacations with Tammy and with the kids, and I love to do that. But then I got thinking about it. If I love God so much, why haven't I taken a vacation with Him? So I want to encourage you this week to spend some time with God. I know you say, well, I don't have time. There's schedules. There's deadlines. I just can't. Sometimes that's the very best time. I want to tell you a secret. You ready? The world will go on without you. We'll make it. They'll make it without me. But spend time with God, because I got thinking about God, and God is our creator. And I thought about God created all of us. And I was thinking about, you know, if I created something, I would want to spend time with Him. And I think sometimes we don't get that, because we think, you know, well, I need to spend time with God. I'd really like to spend time with God. But I don't know if we look at it on the other side and God says, you know what, I really would like to spend some time with you. I think God gets excited when we make time, carve out time for a vacation with God, to spend some time with Him. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want us to go to Jeremiah. And I know we are a people, sort of our history is camping out in the New Testament, and we're going to get back over there, but I want us to look at Jeremiah real quick. And I want to read the call of Jeremiah from God. I'm going to start in verse 4. It says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I got thinking about that. I said, wow. Is this just true for Jeremiah? Or is this true for me? Is this true for all of you guys? I got thinking about, he says, before I made you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I chose you for a special work. I chose you to be a prophet to the nations. God tells Jeremiah, he says, I chose you to do something special. I chose you because I have something in mind. And so I started thinking about that, and I think, you know, before God made me, He knew me. And before I was born, there were things that I'm supposed to do that God already had in mind. He knew that I was going to do these things. Okay? So I got thinking about that. Is that just for Jeremiah, or is that for me and you guys and everybody else? So if you have your Bibles, turn over to the New Testament. And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now that word workmanship, some scholars transform or define it as masterpiece. So I want you to think about, now I don't want you to get a big head this morning, but I want you to think about, you are God's masterpiece. God made us, and He says, I made you and I had works in mind for you to do. And I think about, as we look at people that we mentioned, and as I look across here and I think about all the talents and abilities that you have, because God says that He gives us each gifts. And I think we're supposed to use those gifts in our uniqueness to build the body of believers up. That when we come in contact with someone, that they leave better. They leave built up. They leave knowing more about Jesus Christ. Knowing more about how God wants us to live. And I can't do what you can do. And I used to, you know, let me ask you this. Do you guys know what this is? Yeah, you guys know what it is. Was this an accident? No, it wasn't an accident. Somebody put some thought in this ahead of time. Somebody said, you know what? I don't like using a knife. The fork doesn't really work. Don't even think about using a spoon. He said, the world needs shredded cheese. And so somebody thought through that and said, you know what? I'm going to create something so we can have shredded cheese. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that's exactly what God did with us. God told Jeremiah, He says, I want you to be a prophet to the nations. He says, I need you to go do what I've called you to do. So I want us to think about this. You're not an accident. You're a masterpiece. You're someone that God thought about. He thought it through and says, I'm going to make you who you are. I'm going to make you who I need you to be to do these good works. The New Testament in Romans says that we are instruments of righteousness, that God needs us and needs our unique gifts. That's why it's so important that you're here. That's why it's so important that we meet together, that we build each other up, because if you're not here, Kelvin is visiting with us this weekend, and we're glad to have Kelvin. But that's what we talked about this morning. Kelvin and other students, when they graduate, they leave us, we miss them. There's something that's pulled out of the body there, and we miss that. And we come back, it's great to have them visit. And I want you to think about the way God created you. And you're created as a masterpiece. You're created unique. He wants you to use your talents and abilities to build up the body, to do what He wants you to do that only you can do. And I want to tell you, sometimes we think we're being humble by saying, you know, well, I'm just not very smart. I just can't do much. I can't do all those things that you can do. And I don't think that's humility. I think it's degrading to God. He's saying, remember when He was talking to Moses? And He says, I want you to go tell him about Moses. I can't talk. It's almost like what Jeremiah does here. He says, I can't speak that day. Go ahead and grab Aaron and let him speak, because he's a lot better than I am. And I think when we say those things, God's saying, who created your mind? Who made your eyes? Who made your ears? Who made you the way you are? Did I mess up? God said, did I mess up with your mouth? Did I mess up when I made your mind think the way it is? And I don't know, maybe you guys don't do this, but I have these moments, I know, sometimes it hits me that I wake up and look in the mirror and I think, man, you are so weird. Yeah, you're redheaded, you got freckles, nobody gets you, you don't talk like other people. But you know what? When I think about it, I think, but this is how God made me, and that works. And I think if we don't accept that, embrace who we are, and we don't do what God has called us to do, I feel like that right now I'm supposed to be working with awesome college students. And let's give these guys a hand, because I love these guys. They're wonderful. They're amazing at what they can do. But if I'm not doing that, then I think I'm not using what God has given me. And you know, if you've ever played golf, and I've heard people say this, the sweet spot, you hit it and you can say it was perfect. Or, you know, you're shooting basketball and you're just in the zone and you're just hitting everything, or whatever it may be. But that's the greatest feeling, is when we are doing what God has designed us to do. And we're using our abilities and our talents, and we're using our uniqueness to build up Jesus Christ. But here's what we do. We say, no, you know, I look in the mirror, I'm not like everybody else. I'm weird. I'm not the same. I can't do what they can do. You want to see what's weird? This is weird. This is weird. This is an apple thing. That's what I call it, an apple thing. Okay, so I'm trying not to make a mess here, but I want to see if I can do this thing up here right. But I want you to look at this. I don't even know how to use it right. But here we go. Do you see that? That's amazing. Just like, boom, right there, we got sliced apples. But you know what we do? Well, yeah, but I can't shred cheese. And the cheese shredder's going, hey, did you see what you just did to this apple? Do you see how amazing that is? Do you see your ability? But we play that game and we have a pity party and we say, yeah, but I'm not like him or I'm not like her. This morning, I want you to see yourself as the masterpiece that God has designed you to be. I want you to use your talents, because, guys, if we could embrace that, we could believe that as a church, we're busting out walls. Everybody's going to be in here, because if everybody would embrace that and say, you know, God made me to be used for a special way, and don't hide your talent and put it out there, and don't be afraid. God tells Jeremiah, says, don't be afraid of the people. He says, if you're going to be afraid of me, I'll give you something to be afraid about. But don't be afraid to use your talents. Don't be afraid to use what God has given you, because some people are going to make fun. Some people are going to ridicule you. And some of you may have been beat down so far that you think, oh, I can't do it. I hope this morning you embrace God's made you. Your uniqueness to build all of us up and to bring other people to Christ. I have a video I want to show here in just a second, but I want to share just a couple things and then we'll move to the video. I believe that this is God's message to us today. I hope it is. So don't be afraid. God has given us a power. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." We have the same power in us. When you become a Christian, you're buried with Christ, God puts His Spirit in each one of us. And we have the supernatural ability to do a work that we couldn't do without Him. So I want you to live this week thinking about the power that you have in you, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us. And that we have these abilities to do things through God that no one else can do. And so I want to remind you this week, the enemy's going to, an hour from now, even if you believe this, even if you believe Ephesians 2:10, you say, I'm God's workmanship, I'm His masterpiece, and there's things that God wants me to do, and you're fired up and you're ready to do it right now, an hour from now, you're going to die. You say, no, I can't do that. I've too many failures, too many mistakes, too many things behind me. You know what? That's what Satan loves. He loves to fill your head with that thing. Because if he can take our past mistakes and stop us from being what God wants us to be and what we can use, our talents and abilities, he's got us. So I want to show you this video, and then I want to close with just a couple of comments.
"But you are our Father, Lord. We are like clay, and you are like the potter. You created us." "You created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because you are to be feared. All you do is strange and wonderful." Think on that. He created every part of us, even the parts we don't like, the ones that are shaped funny, the ones that stick out, the ones that don't work like they used to. He created it all, and all He does is strange and wonderful. We are being thrown, spun, shaped and reshaped, trimmed, glazed, fired, and made into something strange and wonderful. Sometimes that's hard for us to see. Maybe it's because the wheel is spinning so fast, or maybe because we can't see through the potter's eyes. Does a clay pot dare argue with its maker, a pot that is like all the others? Does the clay ask the potter what he is doing? Does the pot complain that its maker has no skill? Absolutely. We do anyway. We complain. We berate ourselves. We wish we were something else, something more, something better. But hear this. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Did you hear that? You are God's masterpiece. You, with the muffin top, the receding hairline, the acne, the out-of-date clothes, the voice that cracks, the sags, bags, and wrinkles, with every awkward social situation you encounter, with every failure, you are God's masterpiece. So what must it be like for God when He hears, "I'm fat, I'm ugly, I screwed up again, I can't do anything right. I'm such a loser. Don't be deceived by those voices. God loves you. The real you. The deep down you that nobody else sees. That you. Because you are God's masterpiece. And you are strange and wonderful.